Good evening, grave robbers, and welcome back to the Television Graveyard. We're your TV necromancers, Lara Prince and Noah Houlihan, and we have come here tonight to examine the spirits of past television shows to find out which ones could be resurrected, should be resurrected, and which ones should just stay doomed. This is a podcast in which we'll analyze the history and the hype. Or maybe it's all just a theory. With me, as always, is TV's Noah Houlihan.
That looks really interesting on the audio file.
I'm just saying, I'm sitting across from you and those weren't words. Like, I know from context what you were attempting to communicate.
Yes, we're going to talk about game theory. Matthew Patrick recently retired from not just game theory, but from film theory, fashion theory, and food theory. And stepping away from the theorist world to do GT Live and other projects. And I watched his last theory recently.
I did as well.
And it was very interesting that on my television, when we watched it through my PlayStation 5, it was listed as Season 1, Episode like 3000.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I guess this only ran one season.
I mean, it never had a hiatus. It never had a break.
Yeah. So that means, for the first time ever here on Stay Doomed, we're covering a web series.
For the first time ever?
I've said that every time we've covered a web series. Oh.
I was like, no. You're wrong.
But Matt Pat has a special place here amongst the Stay Doomed lore. So I thought it would be...
What's that special place?
I love him and you
don't.
Hate him. So I thought it'd be fun if we took this time to play the game theory and ride the trending wave and reflect on how game theory affected not just this channel, but a lot of the things that I did and have done. So
cover game theory, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
So we watched all 3,000 episodes. You watched all 3,000 episodes, right?
No.
No, of course not. But I've been a fan of game theory for so long, over a decade now. And I've forced a few episodes onto Lara.
I watch ones where I'm already interested in the topic.
Right.
And I will admit, fully, I really like food theory.
Yeah, food theory is great.
I actually will go out of my way and intentionally watch food theory on purpose.
But with Matt Pat, like, retiring and stepping away, I have had some time to kind of reflect on my parasocial relationship with Matt Pat and realized that he had an effect on so many different things in my comedy career, my YouTube career, my Plus Two comedy career. So I thought we would we'd sit down and kind of just talk about it for a little bit. So I would like to start by asking you this. Do you remember the first time you heard of Matt Pat?
No.
No?
Because, like, really, I think I became aware of Matt Pat as, like, a person in 2020.
Really?
Yeah, like, you have a theorist thing on your laptop. I knew of him, but he was, I don't want to say background noise, but he was just not something I gave a lot of thought to.
Gotcha.
Like, the first time I remember thinking about Matt Pat ever was in 2020 when we were watching Escape the Night.
Okay.
Because I really like him in Escape the Night.
Yes, he's great in Escape the Night.
And we also, around that time period, watched Game Lab.
Yes. Because that was during YouTube Red Month that we did.
Which he makes fun of.
Yes. So I can tell you the exact moment that I first heard about Matt Pat. It was at Too Many Games because there was a panel that I used to do that I loved called Dirty Video Game Lies.
Oh my God, yeah. I forgot about that panel.
It was one of my favorites because it was a weird panel where we discussed times where video games specifically lied to you. And it wasn't meant to be like so much of like misconceptions, but like rather like you were given incorrect information.
Yeah.
And the big things I talked about was there is a quote in the original Pokemon Red and Blue, where in order to get, I forget which Pokemon it is, you had to trade for them.
Yes.
And you had to trade a Raichu for this one Pokemon. And after you did it, you could revisit that person and they would say, hey, that Raichu you traded me went and evolved. And then there was this big thing of like, oh my God, you can evolve a Raichu. And this led to these playground discussions of this rumored Pokemon that we would dub Peekablue that Raichu could evolve into. Peekablue is actually the Pokemon called Meryl.
Yes.
That would show up later in the Pokemon series.
It is either a translation error or a forgotten reference to Gurochu, Pikachu's scrapped second evolution.
Yeah. And it was just me bringing those things up. Another one that I loved was Aerith versus Eris.
Mm-hmm.
In Final Fantasy VII, in Japan, her name is Aerith, I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly, with a TH at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And in English, it's Aris, without a TH. It's like A-R-I-S-E. Okay. And when asked about it, the creator of Final Fantasy VII, or one of the story editors, said, we thought it would be more interesting if Aris's name was an anagram.
Mm.
And it anagrammed to rise.
Arise.
As in like rise from the dead.
Or raise.
Yeah. So they were like, oh my God, you can resurrect Eris. And it was a translation error. They wanted it to anagram to earth. And they spelled it wrong.
Whoops.
So it was just like this big miscommunication. I loved like showing these things. I did things about like the EGM April Fool's Day joke. I had like pulled a contest that they did in EGM where you could win a chance to be in The Mask 2.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Which took several more years to come out.
I mean, technically it's The Son of the Mask. It's not even The Mask 2. But I love the panel, and then the twist at the end was the big secret at the end was Mario's not a hero. He's a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled all these things about how he punches Yoshi in the back of the head to make him spit his tongue out. How in the instructions for the original Mario Brothers, it says that King Koopa turns the people of the Mushroom Kingdom into bricks, which Mario then goes around destroying.
Oof.
And I had all this evidence and all this other stuff, and I'm like, I'm doing it at too many games, and I'm rocking and rolling, and I hear a kid say, this is just like the MatPat video.
Sorry, Super Mario, more like super villain, because behind those plump cheeks, that bulbous nose, and that 80s porn star mustache is a truly evil man.
And I was like, what? And I went home after too many games and Googled it. And there was this video by Matthew Patrick 13.
Oh, wow.
Explaining that Mario was a psychopath. I think it's a two-parter, and like he had far more examples than I did.
Yeah.
About all this stuff.
Well, because he was probably putting out like a 30-minute video on one topic while you were doing an hour panel on.
Yeah. And I was like, this guy stole my idea. And I was mad at him. And then
Doesn't he talk about a time where he did this in his last... That's funny.
In his last video, he talks about how, like, being mad about someone covering something similar to you shouldn't upset you, because it's good game theory to cooperate. So I immediately was like, well, I'm going to watch all his videos, because I wanted to, like, justify to myself that I was better than him. And early game theory is not great, but I still loved it.
Yeah.
Early game theory, if you go to game theory and you sort by oldest, first off, you get about 13, like, live theater performances. Like him auditioning for Hairspray.
Tracy, I'm in love with you no matter what you wear, 'cause without love.
Him doing like a comedic monologue.
At my birthday party when I was 10, we had this clown named Mr. Giggles. Now, Mr. Giggles was extremely old.
Lots of great cringe if you list by oldest. But the other videos were things like how to survive a zombie apocalypse, and it's just like him hitting watermelons with like swords and hammers.
In the end, the moral of the story is this. While the end of the world might seem like your opportunity to go all badass and start shooting off guns and smashing things with sledgehammers and setting other things on fire, it's the people who stay practical and creative that are going to survive the longest.
Like, it's really weird. But I bring up that particular video because in that video, I kind of put together that he was in New York.
Okay.
And I actually reached out to MatPat to be on the Plus Two Comedy podcast. Because this was back when we were doing a live show weekly in a comic book store in, like, near Atlantic City.
Yeah. And you had New York guests before.
I had just had Brental Floss on the show. I had just had Captain S, Brent Vanderbrook on the show. I was like, I'm going to try to get this MatPat guy. And I reached out to him, and I never heard back. But I also figured out he had moved to California by then, based off of context in his videos. So there is this, like, weird, like, brief moment where before MatPat, or before Matthew Patrick became Game Theory's MatPat, where I almost got him to do my show to help him out.
Oh my god.
Which, if MatPat was on the Plus Two Comedy podcast, I would bring that up all the time.
I'd have to have another opinion. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can't bully him into the floor if you were friends.
And for those who have never ventured deep into the archives of this podcast stream and have only listened to Stay Doomed and have never gone back to the Plus Two Comedy podcast, that was a really bad show. It was me bringing on a guest to tell them a thing that I read, usually. Like, hey, thanks for coming. I appreciate you. Anyway, this is the video game I've been playing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, because it used to be like what you're watching, what you're reading, what you're playing.
Yeah.
And the guest only, there were two people hosting it, and the guest only got to speak for one third of the time.
One third of the time.
And generally not about what they were hoping to promote.
And I think they usually went third, so we were already in like riff mode by the time that they were like, so I've been watching The Walking Dead. Ah, we would just talk over them. It was a bad show that I did for well over 200 episodes.
Yeah.
The game at the end was always good.
The game at the end was always good, but there was like a run of episodes where it gets like heavily grifted.
Oh, yeah.
By like another person.
Oh, the grift was always strong in that game.
Yeah, but there's like a number of episodes in a row where the same person grifts all the trivia games and ruins it for everyone.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Laura Prince, everybody.
Well, you don't remember in the early days where, I didn't mean this to become about the Plus Two Comedy podcast, but
this was a lot like the Plus Two Comedy podcast where we were not talking about the person we're supposed to be talking about.
We would end the show every week with a game, and it was host versus guest versus audience, where the guest would compete against my co-host and a random audience member. And there was an audience member that showed up every week and got picked and would greatly disrupt the show. and was not very good at being on a podcast and was always disruptive. And his name was Mike Goldstein. And now we run Cosplay Pro Wrestling together. I digress. It actually, you know what? That's a great segue because MatPat was a huge influence on Cosplay Pro Wrestling.
Really?
Yes. Two major reasons. One, MatPat always brought people along with the ride with him. And one of the guys that was, because Game Theory used to host other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those other shows was called Smash Breakdown, hosted by Trailer Drake, now known as Comic Drake.
Yeah.
And he would break down the origin of every move that you could do in Smash.
Yes.
So it was like when, you know, Mario does his neutral B, he whips out his cape. The cape was introduced in Super Mario World. Such like that. It was like really a great show.
I love that.
And I was watching that because I was Mr. Game & Watch in CPW. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he had a whole video on his moveset, which is why I would throw headbutts as Mr. Game & Watch.
Game & Watch actually has one other piece of protective headgear. It's hard to tell, but during his dash attack, Mr. Game & Watch wears the exact same helmet as the game helmet.
Like Naruto headbutts with my arms back. because that was a Smash move that Game Theory taught me thanks to Trailer Drake. Me and Trailer Drake, buds. Trailer Drake, buds with you. Every time I see him, I give him a six-pack of random beer because I love him. It's a great friendship. But that is, you know, thanks to MatPat that all of that happened. On top of that, you're a character in Cosplay Pro Wrestling.
I may or may not be close friends with Princess Peach in the Disney terminology.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. A person that looks a lot like you is Princess Peach.
I'm using the Disney terminology. I'm close friends with Princess Peach.
Close friends. Very close friends. And
she owes me $10.
One of the biggest storylines we ever did in Cosplay Pro Wrestling was Mario versus Luigi.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot I wanted to do with that storyline that didn't end up happening, but we ended up doing, like, a heel Peach type thing that I loved. But one of the ways we wanted to go was we discussed doing Peach and Luigi mm-hmm. as a team for a little bit.
Yes.
And that was solely based on a Game Theory video where MatPat attempts to prove that Rosalina is actually the daughter of Peach and Luigi.
Huh.
And it's always been Peach and Luigi.
For years, we've been led to believe that Peach and Mario are gaming's it couple, but this whole cover-up would make perfect sense if Nintendo had known all along that Luigi is the one Peach ultimately ends up with.
And while Mario's always saving Peach, it's always been Peach and Luigi. And he brings up a lot of great evidence.
Okay.
And I remember sitting you down to watch this for, like, character research. And I was like, this is insanity. You're gonna love this.
I didn't.
And I remember at the end you just being like, I mean, no. But, you know, it was very much that thing of, like, when you sit down with your friend to watch your favorite movie.
Yeah, you were watching me
and
watch
I was like,
it.
Watch it harder. This is the moment.
I, like, have my phone in my hands. I'm, like, trying to play Candy Crush.
No Candy Crush. There's important information about Luigi's earlobes coming up that you need to know, or the rest of this isn't going to make sense.
So let's start with one of Rosalina's most identifiable traits. Her earlobes.
I wonder if that's why I didn't like him very much. Is because, like, the first experiences I had with MatPat videos were you making me watch things I was not interested in. Where I was like, I don't care. This is dumb. I have a blood rival now.
I think it also comes from my strong stance and belief that he is the best YouTube ever. Not like I think he's the best at YouTube. Like the work he has done to understand how YouTube works, because YouTube itself has admitted that they've worked on the algorithm in so many ways with so many people that they don't know how it works.
That's crazy to me.
So he has to like reverse engineer it. And here's like some old timey stuff. Before end cards, there used to be annotations where you could make text and a clickable box show up on YouTube at any point in the video. Do you remember that? And he went through just like trying to figure out what's the best way to use that. And there were all these videos explaining how to use that and like how to get someone to click, what they're more likely to click. Like he had all this insane data, and I used it when I launched my Kickstarter for, Game the Gamer.
Huh.
Because I was like, okay, so these are the tricks that get people to, like, do it. Like, this is what makes people interact, and this is the bit you should do. And I was like, okay, perfect. We launched the Kickstarter, and 3 days into it, they just got rid of annotations.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh, all that was for nothing. Because there's a moment in the Kickstarter video where we joke about a video popping up in front of my face.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do that because we didn't have the ability to do that anymore.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you watch old YouTube videos, and by old, I mean like videos that are 8, 9 years old, you might find videos where people are like, hey, if you like this, click here. And nothing pops up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because those that's a feature that YouTube no longer has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a particular video I want to talk about just real quick, because I think it leads nicely into food theory.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning, before MatPat started covering lore.
Yeah.
It was all about, like, science. And it was things like, could you survive the leap of faith in Assassin's Creed?
Right.
Or, like, if you use the hook shot from Legend of Zelda, would it rip your arm off? And one of the ones I remember him doing kind of early was a Grand Theft Auto V theory, where he was trying to prove that the cops were racist in the game.
Racism? Cops? GTA? Woohoo, boy!
Oh, that's kind of neat.
And it's the only video that I can think of that's this format where they conduct an experiment in-game. Because in Grand Theft Auto 3, in Grand Theft Auto 5, there are 3 playable characters and one of them is black.
Right.
So they had all 3 characters approach the police, honk a horn, and drive away. And they were more likely to try to arrest the black character.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting video that lives in the back of my mind. Because one, it's like, it's a very weird thing to do, when you could also solve it by asking a developer a question.
Yeah.
Like, did you program the game to do this? And if they say yes, then you're done. But it's the idea of doing an experiment in a game that I find so interesting. And to me, that format is more of what food theory becomes.
Yes.
Because food theory, like, there's a lot of episodes of Food Theory where he just fails, and yeah. I love that.
Food Theory is a little more of this, like, Mythbusters-esque.
Yeah.
which I like. Yeah, I found it... I actually really like the idea of running an actual experiment in-game. It's something super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not one of his most popular videos, but it's one I think about a lot. So, I've talked a lot. Do you have anything that you wanted to bring up about MatPat?
Do you remember when I started? I guess that was my first, was when you had me watch the, when did I start canonically disliking MatPat?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know when I, like, when in Stay Doomed lore, it became, like, a joke that I don't like MatPat.
I feel like I feel like it's got to be pre-Game Lab. Because Game Lab, I think Game Lab is when it starts becoming a bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm defending Game Lab, and you're not. And it definitively becomes a bit when we did the reality TV show host tier list.
Yes.
And I'm so desperately trying to keep MatPat somewhere respectable.
And I just take
yeah.
pleasure in watching him fall.
Yes.
Because I will say, I tend not to like game or film theory.
Yeah.
Film theory, I think that's because it's the part I know the most about. It's where I feel like at least once per film theory episode, there's like a glaring mistake
that annoys me. Interesting.
And it's not always something big. It's just something that gets under my skin. I know you were like, Laura, you love Encanto. So we watched the Encanto.
Oh, I do remember this.
And throughout he calls it like Casito.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Casita. Like, this is, you know, Dora the Explorer level Spanish. Like, this is not, this is like day two of Duolingo yeah. Spanish.
That's the only mistake I really remember him ever addressing in another episode.
I think because
he's like, whoops.
I think because a lot of the mistakes are also things that could really just be like, I really don't see it that way. And it might be less of a mistake and more of, I feel he's misinterpreting something. That's an objective mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Casito is an objective error.
Yeah.
Some of it is I think sometimes he's willfully misreading things to support a thesis.
Yeah, which happens.
And it makes me grumpy.
There was also a while where he really enjoyed trying to surf the trends. And he would do prediction theories that would belly flop super hard.
Yeah.
Because I remember before Endgame? No, what was before Endgame?
Infinity War.
He had a prediction video of where all the Infinity Stones were. And his theory was that one of them was going to be Adam Warlock.
Okay.
And I remember kind of like buying into it and kind of like bringing that up in conversations in hype for this movie. And you being like, they've already said that that's not true. And I was like, yeah, I think it's all a lie. And you were like, stop.
And Adam Warlock does not show up until considerably later.
No, he certainly doesn't.
So.
Because there's also that, I think I showed you this episode. Because that episode starts with like a SpongeBob song.
Who is Thanos? Let me spell it for you. T is for Tesseract, ripping holes in space-time. H is for him, you'll see. A is for Aether, it's anything at all part of Thanos' theory.
And it's very much him trying to ride, like, the memes of the era.
Yeah.
Because I think he also throws in, like, a Ugandan Knuckles reference in there. And you were just like, dude, you're not in that age bracket. You're our age.
That was the issue I had a lot of the time with MatPat's content,
mm-hmm.
is he would have this very presentational, loud, children's host aura,
mm-hmm.
but make pop culture references that were very rooted millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would kind of have this, who is this for?
Yeah. He was trying to be for everyone.
So I found him very grating, which I think is part of why I like Food Theory better, is because I feel like that's dialed down a lot more in Food Theory.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe in later Game Theory, by that point I'd kind of not. I generally, as a habit, did not consume Game Theory or Film Theory frequently.
Right.
Just because with Game Theory, I was often not that... I don't really care that much about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Right.
Like, I watched the movie. I watched Markiplier play some of the games. Mm-hmm. I fell off somewhere around, like, the fifth or sixth game.
Yeah.
I'm not a jump scare girly.
So, funny story about that, I find this very interesting. That was another one of his end card analytics things that he did. Was he ended one of his videos with, what do you want the next theory to be? Do you want it to be about Slender Man? Or are you interested in this bear game, Five Nights at Freddy's? And he did it thinking that no one would pick Five Nights at Freddy's because Slender was so huge at the time.
Yeah.
And when they picked Five Nights at Freddy's, he was like, oh, well, I guess I got to figure out a theory about this. And the first Five Nights at Freddy's theory is like relating it to a real life incident that happened at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not trying to solve lore yet.
Yeah.
And he recently released a video explaining what the Slender video was going to be.
Yeah.
And he was going to try to prove whether or not Slender Man is actually slender. like if his build is actually considered slender.
Because
instead, he created a series that is now 68 episodes long.
Because I know I tried to watch the Taylor Swift episode of Style Theory.
Mm-hmm. I don't recall this.
It's about how, like, the different eras. And I had a very hard time with it because we were like, duh. Like, it didn't feel revelatory.
Yeah.
It was like, her different costumes and different eras mean different things. And I was like, groundbreaking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Swifty, that you already knew stuff.
To quote a real stylist. Ooh. To quote a real style theorist, florals in spring, groundbreaking. It's just, like, it didn't work for me. Because I was like, I love Taylor Swift. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a light Swifty in that I don't own a lot of Taylor Swift stuff.
Right.
I don't think I actually own anything outside of actually just owning digital copies of the albums. But I know that one of the things I found the most interesting about the Taylor Swift style theory is there's a point, I just pulled up the transcript because I wanted to look at something.
Right.
And he's talking about Madonna.
Club, Madonna set the stage for exactly what we're seeing Taylor Swift do now. It's a career that managed to span over 40 years, which honestly sounds exhausting. If I was Madonna, I'd be retired on a beach somewhere where no one can ever ask me who am I wearing ever again. Seriously, aren't you valued at like $1 billion at this point, Madonna? You could take a break. You don't have to be going around on Jimmy Fallon trying to use the word swag unironically.
And look, swag as you know what.
Yeah. It's not just musicians either. You're starting to see it happen right here on YouTube.
This is from May of last year. This is from shortly, like, kind of not that far into the Eras Tour. Because the Eras Tour was obviously one of the few pieces of what could be called monoculture.
Right.
Do you know the concept of monoculture?
Explain it for our...
Monoculture is something, it's largely dying out, but these cultural touch points that most people are aware of, things like the Super Bowl are considered monoculture, which the further the internet goes and the further we can all diverge out into the things we care about most, the less important monoculture becomes. There are far fewer major cultural touch points of like everyone watches this TV show.
Right, right.
For instance, or like the series finale of MASH is a big monoculture moment. Everybody and their cat watched the series finale of MASH. And that's something that's just not really done. I think one of the last big pieces of monoculture I can really think of was Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Where that was all anybody cared about that time. And I think COVID really hastened the death of monoculture. Because for a year, we didn't really have much. And everyone could dig themselves real deep into their specific niche and trench.
Well, I would actually almost say that the last example of monoculture would be Tiger King. In a way. Because we all would like, this is the thing. It's the new thing that exists right now. And then after that, we all faded and started to break out on our own.
So I just found it very interesting that, because I wanted to like Style Theory more than I really did. I had just didn't connect with it. I'm actually kind of hoping I connect with it more now with Amy as the host. Because I think there is a point where I just found MatPat a little disingenuous in that channel. And just didn't care for him.
I mean, basically from the start, he was saying Amy's words.
Yeah.
So now, with Amy actually voicing them, it might be a little bit more helpful.
Yeah, like, I think it will.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I could run a style channel. Also, with something like the Taylor Swift eras, it's been done better by a lot of people. Like, that particular one, and, like, in particular, that one really stood out to me. When he does the 1,000-layer nail polish challenge, I just looked at you and went, everyone's done that.
Yeah, we didn't watch that video.
We did not.
But I want to watch it because, like, I'm sure there's a thing in that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But there is a negative thing I will say about MatPat. All right? You can get this on the mic. All right? So when I have to grade papers, I've noticed that some people like to use MatPat's template in their essay writing. And what works in a YouTube video doesn't work in an essay. Nothing drives me more crazy than when an essay has a big twist ending at the end. Where it's like, yeah, and you might think this, but I've left my biggest piece of evidence for the end. Here's this. And I was like, no, you should have opened with that then.
Yeah.
And I've had students say, well, but MatPat. And I will say, no. MatPat is trying to entertain. You were trying to inform. So you wanted to start with your most powerful piece of evidence. But it works great on YouTube. I get that. But I've seen that in students' writing, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I do like food theory, and I keep kind of coming back to food theory.
Mm-hmm.
Food theory is the least MatPat-y of the channels, and by that I mean it's the most Matthew Patrick.
Yeah,
and the least MatPat.
It's interesting,
which leads me to an interesting conclusion of, I think I would very much like Matthew Patrick.
Yeah, it's the...
I've never cared for MatPat.
The persona that you don't care for. And it's interesting because I remember when Food Theory came out. It came out with like 7 videos and they were all very different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Like one was like the lore of the Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah, which I was like, this is stupid.
And then another one was, like, how to save money on your grocery bill.
Yeah.
And, like, over time, they became more of that.
Yeah.
And over time, it felt like it mostly became more, like, experiments.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're going to see if this works. We're going to try the TikTok trend of the...
The pink sauce.
The Coke cake.
Oh, and, well, that was a... That was, like, a weird... rampage I went on. Remember, you were watching that exact video.
Yeah, I might have tried to bring this up on purpose, but what do you think about the Coke cake?
Oh yeah, I went because it was the it was about cake mix and how historically you had to add like oil and eggs to make yourself feel like you did more. And it's like, do you really need to do that? And I was like, no, you can throw a can of soda in it. everyone's been doing this forever. And he was like, you can put a can of soda in it. I was like, duh. And I think I rage baked a cake.
You did. You got up and made a cake. During that video, I think you were trying to finish the cake before he did. In like an attempt to just be like, look. And it was so like, this was you just being skewed of like, I hate Matt Pat. That I must prove him wrong. And I was sitting there going, as someone who doesn't know anything about baking, you both just did magic. What once was a soda is now a cake. That's an impossibility to me.
I mean, it is very much just like something that every little Pinterest baby knows. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I kind of want to talk about.
Okay.
I love Stephanie Patrick and I will never say a word against her.
Okay.
The channels feel gendered in a way. Mm-hmm. I always get the impression, like when I keep saying like every Swiftie knows this, every little Pinterest baby knows this. Maybe, I have forgotten that MatPat might be kind of working with a predominantly male audience.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things I think of as being like, this is just stuff everybody knows. But that being said, we're guys watching the Taylor Swift video. So I found it interesting of like who, again, the you know, very Gen Z presentational YouTuber format with the very millennial references. I think there's always this like, who is this for? And obviously he's incredibly popular.
Yeah, it's for me.
So, like, I'm not saying, like, I know more than he does. I just, it's why I had a hard time connecting with, particularly game theory and film theory.
Mm-hmm.
Style theory, I just never got that into.
Yeah, I feel like the YouTube algorithm didn't push it upon me as much. But what I've seen of style theory, I greatly enjoyed. I greatly enjoyed, Do You Need to Wash Your Feet in the Shower? They did What is the Best Razor? Because that was a thing I was legitimately wondering.
Yeah.
He did a whole thing about why women don't have pockets in their jeans.
Sell bags.
Yeah, sell bags.
Again, I didn't watch that video.
Yeah, but I didn't know that until then.
I just, you know what's very funny? You probably heard me say it in our house. Because I always complain about when things don't have pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So that the man can sell you purses. It's just stupid. But until MatPat said it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is new information. No one's ever thought
he
this.
He made witty millennial references and Gen Z references.
I'm literally made of witty millennial references. That's all I'm comprised of. That and like Muppet felt.
I don't think he's ever done a Muppet theory. In any case, since the Googling is happening right now.
Yo, dude's never touched the Rude.
He didn't. You would be upset if he did. You'd be like, MatPat touched the sacred tomes.
But, like, the Muppets are really important to pop culture. Especially, here is a post by, from 3 years ago by Ultimate Pikachu Clone. MatPat, I challenge you to solve the Muppets lore. And it just went ignored.
He couldn't do it. It was too hard.
Sad.
In any case, the last thing I wanted to talk about is how much he has affected my gaming channel.
Okay.
Because one, he was the one that discovered that if you keep using the same thumbnail like I used to do, and just putting a different number on it, that the algorithm doesn't like that.
Yeah.
And the algorithm actually doesn't like if you put numbers in your thumbnail.
Huh.
Because what ended up happening is somebody makes a series. A lot of people watch the first. Naturally. Some people will not want to watch the second after seeing the first episode.
Right.
So what the YouTube algorithm says is, oh, anything with a 2 on it gets less views. So I'm not going to feed that to people because people don't like it. So that was a big like change that had to happen in YouTube as people stopped numbering their episodes. And also, he's part of the reason I've decided to like kind of break the mold and be like, I'm going to solve stuff on stream. Because like there was a lot of like frustration gameplays and rage bait, and there's a bunch of like multiplayer Let's Players and speedrunners. I was like, no one's ever just sat down and like tried to solve stuff. Like, no one's really done that angle. And that's what I do. And it's not super successful, but I've carved out a nice little area of the internet for myself and people that enjoy that type of content. So it's me just trying to solve weird things. And on occasion, jackets that MatPat has made. I have two jackets in my home that MatPat made that they're not the... Laura doesn't like when I wear them, but they're puzzles. And I solved them and they were fun. And in my defense, I only wore the one jacket once, and that was during Cosplay Pro Wrestling.
And it didn't get booed.
And it didn't get booed, nor did anyone react. I kind of thought at least one person would be like, that's the MatPat jacket. But that was not the case.
I genuinely do. Like, we watched his reaction to the YouTube video and watching the last couple of theories. And I have regularly watched Food Theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me kind of, like, make my little peace with MatPat in a way of... I maybe just don't like YouTube in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Of if he's essentially the best at the algorithm, I think maybe I just don't like what the algorithm has to offer very much. But I think based on Escape the Night and Food Theory, I think I would possibly like Matthew Patrick.
Yeah, he's a big theater nerd, so.
But I... There's an old joke, like, way back in Stay Doomed lore, where I snap, MatPat is everything I don't like about myself.
Yeah. That was going to be a t-shirt.
And it really still is. It's like looking into a more self-assured and more irritating mirror of the things that I get irritated about that I do on camera or that I do on mic. I do some of those things and I get very irritated by them. And that might be also part of the reason of, like, I don't like what I see in myself in him.
Right.
So,
okay.
That might be why I'm a little harder on MatPat. But I actually really did like Food Theory. I will fully say, like, I liked the Family Recipes one. I liked that they were essentially, like, low-stakes Mythbusters. Like, the drive-thru video.
Yeah.
Like, it's dumb. Like, we just went in the drive-thru, and then we did mobile order, and then we went physically in the restaurant.
Oh, to see if the orders were correct?
Yeah.
That's a great one.
And it's simple and funny. Like, I liked stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like it was... I could also sort of see the source code of, like, it was the one he did to do with his partner and as someone who, you know, creates with their partner.
Mm-hmm.
I wholly understand wanting to have a project you can do together.
Yeah.
And so I think there was just a... Plus, I like Stephanie.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I see Stephanie, I'm like, yay, Stephanie! And she's in so much more Food Theory than the others at this point.
Yes, very true.
So I was like, ah, good. And she also makes fun of MatPat, so I don't have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is nice. So I don't want to be like, I hate MatPat, because I really don't anymore.
No, that was the bit.
And I never really, like, hated him, like, the way creepy people on the internet hate people.
Right.
Like, it would just be, yeah, I'm not going to watch his content, and I'm going to make fun of his content to my partner, who really likes it, because it's funny. The same way I know there's YouTubers I watch that you don't particularly care for. I know there's some of the theme park YouTubers that you really like. Like, I know you, obviously, everybody really likes Defunctland because it's the best.
Yeah.
And you like Yesterworld.
There's some shorts creator you seem to keep watching that's just a woman banging on a pot.
It's literally...
I cannot stand.
It's literally just been that video twice.
Oh, okay.
It just came up on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts.
Oh, I have an intense hatred for it.
It's literally only that video. the rest of her content's not like that.
Okay.
It just happened to come up both times I was watching with you in the room.
I made the decision that that's what that person is, and I hate them. But
yeah, I know there's also a lot of shorts creators that you're like, why are we watching this?
Yeah. But in any case, I will say that MatPat's effect on my life has been a net benefit overall. I feel like I've learned a lot, not just like for fun, but like on how to accomplish goals and how to look at things differently. And I almost had him on my podcast, but I didn't act fast enough. So, and he killed Dirty Video Game Lies as a panel. But yeah, I think it's nice that we sat down and just kind of talked about MatPat because I was really sad when he retired. Gonna be honest, I was real sad. I'm sure the shows are still going to be good, but really like MatPat. And
I got misty in the last couple.
I've never met the man, and I have so much respect for him. And I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do next, but I wish him the best, and I would love to somehow get involved. I know it's a parasocial relationship, but I support everything he does. He was in Five Nights. His name was Ness. It was great.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of yelling when that happened.
You did?
I think I tried to leave. We were at our friend's house. I tried.
Yeah, because one of our friends asked me a, like, plot question. And I went, would I believe? And Laura went, oh! And I was like, are we not here to watch the movie?
Noah's mistelling this slightly. Noah didn't say, I believe. He said, MatPat says.
That is not what I said. I made my own theory.
This was right after the MatPat scene. And I was, I feel for MatPat that he had to say it's just a theory. Because he shows, like, a behind the scenes of that. Which I did watch. Mm-hmm. And he's clearly, like, kind of dying a little inside. That he has to say it's just a theory.
Yeah.
And that made me laugh of like, you know, as someone who is a big, like, who, you know, started out in acting before I ended up in whatever circus I'm in now. If I had to say like, find some way to like shoehorn stay doomed.
Yeah. Until next time. If people ran up to you on the street asking you for a video of you saying until next time, stay doomed every day.
No. What I'm saying is if I finally got to be in a movie and then I had to awkwardly say, until next time, I would collapse in on myself like a dying star. So but see, that was another part where he was not this like character, where he was more of like, he seemed more like a real person. And again, still performative. Like when I say Matthew Patrick versus MatPat, I don't think anything's ever like the real person, because everything in social media is performative. Everything is, you know, I talk much more slowly on this podcast than I do in real life.
Yeah.
Because I think through my words so much more when there's a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like vocally 3 zip codes over by this point if I wasn't choosing my words more carefully. So like, everything is performative, but the MatPat character versus like Matthew Patrick.
Right.
And the glimpses we've seen of Matthew Patrick, I genuinely do wish him the best.
Yeah. He's a good man. He did good things. And I'm excited to see what he does next. Stay tuned.
I mean, it's really, it in a way, it's a very stay tuned, because he's pretty much told you.
Yeah.
That, you know, what's coming.
Yeah, and the new hosts seem great. All of them seem great.
Yeah, I think I will probably get more into Style Theory now that it's changed hands.
Yeah.
Just because I never felt like he was a sensible fit with Style Theory. It never seemed like him. Like I said, I think the Final Food Theory does a very good job of transitioning it.
Yeah.
Because I really did feel like, you know, oh, it's the prime cake redemption. Mm. So I think I'll probably still stick with food theory, yeah. And I will give style theory another try.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with all of them. Big fan. Also GT Live. Yay! Thank you so much for joining us for this very strange episode. We're going to get back to programming we usually do soon. Hey, by the way, the Razzies happened.
Yeah, oh. The Razzie video was rough.
Yeah, the Razzies were really bad this year. I don't know. I just feel weird about the Razzies. I really want to interview someone from the Razzies and be like, what are we doing? What's the game plan to your game?
Yeah.
But congratulations, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. And congratulations to Fran Drescher.
Yeah, I was going to say, congratulations to Fran Drescher.
Winning the Redemption Award.
I love that for her. I don't think she really... I think she got nominated for a Razzie for Beautician and the Beast, and I don't think that's fair. No. So I don't think she was ever... this year, more transparently than ever, the Razzies very much felt like, we didn't see this movie, but we don't like Megan Fox, or we don't like...
Oh, I feel that way every year now. In the Razzie video this year, they actually said, some people actually watch all the Razzie movies. And I say, I do. Wait, is no one else doing this? Am I the only one doing the homework before I vote? In any case, thank you so much. We're going to return to normal programming soon. Be sure to check out the Patreon, patreon.com/plus2comedy. Help keep the lights on here at Stay Doomed Studios. Laura, where can people find us?
You can email us at thestaydoomedshow@gmail.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Stay Doomed.
And if you want to talk to me about your favorite game theory episode, I'm at plus2comedy on Twitter.
If you've... want to talk more about the differentiation between someone's online persona and their real persona, I'm at Priorities. Until next time, stay doomed.
That's just a theory.
A doomed theory. Sorry.